Welcome to the Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos.
Welcome to this week's episode of Agency in Focus. I'm Eric White. The Navy launched its My Navy Career Center about a month ago. Now it's giving sailors all over the world a way to cut through the red tape and get personnel answers they need. Federal News Network Scott Massioni talked with Deputy Chief of Naval Personnel Rear Admiral Jeff Hughes about the new center and other personnel issues.
This really starts with a national defense strategy, our ability to increase lethality and restore readiness, so that we can succeed in this era of renewed great power competition. We need to deliver the Navy the nation needs. It needs to be bigger, better, talented, more agile, networked, and ready. A 355-ship Navy with a proportional number of aircraft and enablers, and for me in the personnel world, more sailors. To grow this force, we will need to attract and hire a greater number of sailors than we have in the recent past. But we will also need to retain the talent currently serving in the fleet. In the Chief of Naval Operations Design for Maintaining Maritime Superiority, the gold line of effort is to strengthen our Navy team for the future. We have to be aggressive here to put to sea the Navy the nation needs. The three lines of effort for the personnel enterprise are certainly aligned to this end. We need to deliver our Sailor 2025 program, a series of 45 initiatives aligned into three major categories: personnel system modernization, ready relevant learning, and career readiness. This gets to quality of service and setting the conditions for the sailor and family experience that supports our retention and recruiting needs. Next, we need to effectively man the fleet. We need the right sailor at the right unit at the right time with the right training. We also need to transform the entire enterprise to meet the aforementioned goals. Process redesign to optimize an updated operating model and introduction of modern technology and services. Timing and opportunity have made transformation the number one priority for the personnel enterprise, and we are making tangible progress. Our focus on more satisfied sailors ultimately leads to greater readiness and lethality now and in the future.
And going along with those major initiatives, you are just rolling out something called My Navy Career. It's a helpful tool for a lot of people in the Navy. So would you mind explaining a little bit of what that is and how that may differ from how sailors got HR help in the past?
So the My Navy Career Center is a key component of better quality of service and will enhance the customer experience for all of our sailors. And that really is the underlying concept of the My Navy Career Center. And really, it anchors around a tiered customer service approach. So our approach is very similar to what you'd expect with online banking. In a lot of cases, you'll actually go into your bank through an app, you'll get information, or you'll actually conduct transactions. If you find that you can't get satisfied with what is available on the app, a lot of times you just call the number and you work with a call center agent, and they typically are able to handle your inquiry or transaction. Sometimes they have to actually send it to a back office person, but by and large, they're able to handle that pretty well. And you come to expect a certain level of customer service at this stage from these commercial folks in banking and insurance and other areas like that. We plan to roll out a very similar approach. So for us, in Tier Zero, we talk about how we allow a sailor to get the information or to actually start a transaction online. And we emphasize the sailor self-service. And we do this through My Navy Portal. It's a single point of entry, and it allows them to go to a single source to get accurate and authoritative and current information. And we update this now quarterly so that we get the most current information, but also we're introducing more and more services as frequently as we develop these applications to allow us to do so. In the cases where they can't get satisfied via Tier Zero, either they have to do a transaction that may be a little more complex, or maybe it's a question that they couldn't find the answer to, what we'd like them to do is to call our new contact center. It provides 24/7 access. We've got 200 call center agents that are available. They'll take the inquiry via phone. They can actually get to it through My Navy Portal. They can send them an email, and they can even text the call center to speak with it or to communicate with an agent. And really what we're looking there is to handle the inquiries and some of those routine and simple transactions. In those cases where they can't handle it at the contact center, then they'll go to what we consider Tier 2, which is where we enable the subject matter experts across the enterprise to help them with the complex questions and those complex transactions. And as you harmonize all of this work across the architecture, what we have is the online self-service through My Navy Portal, this contact center with trained call center agents that get great information from these subject matter experts, and then we're going to build the architecture out to include transaction support centers that will allow us to even be more efficient with how we handle the processing for all of the different pay and personnel and all of those HR services that you mentioned in the question. The future for us is having two My Navy career centers, which include the contact center as well as this transaction support center. We'll have one here in Millington, Tennessee, and we'll have one in Norfolk, Virginia. And really, the big move that just happened is over the course of the last couple weeks, in fact, on the 24th of September, we launched what we consider the beta launch of My Navy Career Center Contact Center here in Millington. And again, it was a significant change from a legacy call center that we had in place. We have four times the number of call center agents, and we have a much more robust means to come in and to make contact with these agents through the means that I previously discussed. The biggest piece for us is that the former customer service center was only, it had limited operating hours. Now we are 24/7, and that's critical because we're a global outfit, and we want people to be able to reach out and get to us regardless of what their time zone is.
So, you know, you pretty much, you doubled your hours. You added a ton of employees to come and take care of these calls. Where was the demand coming from? I mean, were you just finding that a lot of sailors were upset that they couldn't get the human resources services that they needed at the time? Or, you know, what kind of brought this on?
You know, you bring up a good point. We do listen to the sailors, and we want to understand what makes it hard for them. In a lot of cases, one of the things that I think is important is this single point of entry. Right now, there are so many different places that you can go to get information. You can get it online. You can get it through calling different parts of the enterprise. And sometimes you don't get the right answer, or sometimes you may get an answer and it's not necessarily current. So it's really important to funnel this in and to get people to go to one place. So we really emphasize, try My Navy Portal first. And again, it's growing and we're building, and quarterly updates, and whenever we can, we get as much as we information as we can out there. In fact, one of the things that we're trying to do is, as we're seeing how we're doing now, we monitor all these transactions. If we find that a lot of these things have to go back to the subject matter experts, what we're trying to do is build knowledge management articles that we can bring to the contact center agents, or that we can actually upload onto My Navy Portal. So maybe the sailor can, through self-service, get satisfied even earlier in the process. But your point is spot on. It's really important for us to listen to them. They've been frustrated because they weren't quite sure, where should I go? How do I get the right answer? And how can I get these things started? And we've got to be mindful. These sailors they're all over the world. They may have limited opportunities to reach out and contact us. So we need to make sure that we're aligning around their needs, not the other way around.
We're talking with Rear Admiral Jeffrey Hughes, Deputy Chief of Naval Personnel. I wanted to move a little bit more toward the sailors that have been not able to deploy a lot. DOD recently put out a policy that if someone is not deployable for a year or more, that it's most likely that they should be separated from the service. Your service came out with their policy right away on October 1st. Do you mind kind of explaining what that policy entails and what maybe some of the nuances about it may be?
This is all about increasing the readiness and lethality of the Navy and the Joint Force, ensuring equity and clearly articulating responsibility and accountability. So this policy to me simply makes good sense and is a means to focus efforts on having a greater deployable inventory. For the Navy, this is foundational to our dynamic force employment approach, which requires routine and sometimes unpredictable global deployments. We've been working this for over a year and have already gotten to a point where we're meeting the DOD goal.
Deputy Chief of Navy Personnel, Rear Admiral Jeff Hughes, speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni. We'll continue the interview after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies, matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
We now continue our interview with Deputy Chief of Naval Personnel, Rear Admiral Jeff Hughes, speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni.
When it comes to kind of the nitty-gritty of all this kind of stuff, you know, when you're a sailor and you haven't been deployable for, let's say, 12 months and one day, does that automatically make you susceptible to this? What is kind of the process looking like for those that, you know, this has only been about 2 weeks since this has been, an actual policy?
No, that's a fair question, and in a lot of regards too. As we've ramped up to implement the policy, what we're trying to do, I'll tell you, we're really trying to help sailors get back into a deployable state. In a lot of cases, it comes down to their individual medical readiness. So what we're trying to do is we're refocusing and realigning around what we can do to try to help sailors get better. And in a lot of cases, if someone was, say, in a limited duty status, we're going to really work hard through the medical community and through their treatment facilities to get the appointments, to get them in, to see if we can get them back up and running. In some cases, the policy used to be such that there would be a determination that they would be in a limited duty status for a finite period of time. What we're trying to do is make it more conditions-based. We believe that if you have this particular injury, that we think it should take, the recovery should take a certain amount of time, and then what we'll do is we'll ensure that we're having the follow-ups and that we're working. And this, again, there's a lot of responsibility here. There's responsibility on the individual's part. There's responsibility at the command level. And then I'd say there's responsibility at kind of the headquarters level of us in the tracking of this from the personnel side and working with our teammates in the medical community to really help ensure we're trying to get our people back into deployable status and shape so that we can take that experience and get them back on the pointy end doing what we need to do. So, you know, back to your original question, in this lead up right now, as we've been tracking and monitoring some of these folks, what we're trying to do is ensure that we get a real good sense of, are they close to being in a position to get back up and running? And if they are, then we're going to work hard to do so. If they're not, in some cases, some of these injuries may be a little bit more serious, where we will refer them to a different process. It's a disability evaluation system, and then we'll put them into that process, which will make a determination. In some cases, they may be in a position to be restored for duty. In some cases, they may not, and that could lead to either separation or retirement, if that fits.
When it comes to the people that actually do get separated, how are you ensuring that they get the care that they need outside of the Navy and they're not just kind of dropped at the bus stop and you know, say farewell, right?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, it's the same. We haven't changed any of the policies concerning, say, what the retirement would look like if they're eligible, or what the separation authority or characterization, things along those lines. They will remain the same. But it will be an orderly transition. We'll make sure that all the benefits that they're entitled to are there. And in a lot of cases, too, there will be some sort of medical trail for some of those ones that may go to that more formal process. So there will be a handoff into the VA where applicable. And so by all means, we're actually absolutely going to take care of people in that transition and once they've made it to the other side.
Great. And, you know, kind of speaking on this, there's a new fitness evaluation that you're working on as well, and that kind of goes into being non-deployable or being deployable and staying in fit. How's that working out for you?
Well, it's, as we look at one of these Sailor 2025 initiative category areas, it's career readiness. It's leadership development. It's wellness. And really, you know, it's making sure that each individual health and wellness and toughness, as well as how's the family doing? All of that is really important to make sure that we're looking at ourselves holistically. So the whole culture of fitness, how well we eat, how well we take care of ourselves from an exercise perspective is critical. I'll tell you, one of the big changes that took place over the last year was in our physical fitness testing. We are really rewarding those that do well by basically giving them a deferral from the next test. And really, it's interesting because you sit there and question, well, are you really rewarding the people that are going to do well anyway? I'll tell you, the stats will show that we really increased the number of people that made it into those categories that would satisfy getting that deferral. And as a force, it shows that we're kind of driving the behavior that we want. We want the winning culture. We want that to be what we're focusing on, as opposed to looking at it the other way, to sit there and say, well, for the people that aren't meeting the standard, you know, you kind of push them out. And I think that that has really helped us. But it's a holistic look at this whole process to lead to ultimately deployable sailors. What are all the foundational things that will help them?
That's Deputy Chief of Naval Personnel, Rear Admiral Jeff Hughes, speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni. Time for one more break and then hear the final part of our interview. I'm Eric White.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
We now return to our interview with Deputy Chief of Naval Personnel, Rear Admiral Jeff Hughes. He's speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni.
We were just talking about non-deployable sailors. I wanted to talk a little bit about how you bring in talented people. And you just got a bunch of authorities from Congress in the 2019 NDAA. What are some of those authorities that you're thinking about using, and how might you use them? And some of those include direct commissioning and upper stay, different ways that you can just kind of move around and be a little more flexible with people.
Absolutely, Scott. That's a great point, and really, we're really excited about what came through in the FY19 NDAA. Really, changes to legislation and personnel management that will help us shape the future of the officer corps to be the flexible and fighting force that we need. I'd say the career model, if you were to kind of put it into a broad category, the career model really makes us more agile in quickly matching and rewarding talent to task. So I think some of those areas, they're in the law. A lot of what is in place really makes sense for us as far as continuing to serve the core warfighting communities in some of those areas. But some of these other things are really exciting and gets to what you just mentioned as far as, you know, how we bring some folks in that may not be the traditional, we bring them in young and they kind of grow over the course of a 20-year career. So one of those areas is expanded constructive service credit, beyond what we have in place now for, say, the medical and chaplain and JAG Corps, because really what we may want to do here is target some of those experts in areas that we would like to bring in at a higher level, such as some folks in, say, the cyber and acquisition and engineering fields. So that's something we're certainly going to take a hard look at and pursue. But some of those other areas, you had mentioned up and stay, and really kind of pushing that statutory limit out to the right. So in a lot of cases, there are really quality officers that have specialized skills that we would like to remain longer in some of these technical or non-command jobs that may or may not have the same upward mobility, but they could certainly make a critical contribution. One thing that we're going to do is we just rolled out a program. We're going to have a board that's going to convene here next month for what we're calling the Professional Flight Training Instructor Program. And really what we're doing there is we're taking a look at some post-department head aviators and naval flight officers. So they're at about the 10 to 12-year point. They have a lot of operational experience. They will have completed a department head tour in either an operational squadron or in a training squadron. And all of them will have had to have served as a flight instructor earlier in their career. But what we're saying at this point, for these folks that volunteer, they don't necessarily want to stay on the command path and that track, but they would like to potentially be part of a professional flight instructor cadre in our training squadrons. And right now, we actually have some issues in manning at some of our jet training squadrons. So this really comes together at a nice point where we're going to select about 20 or so instructor pilots that will be the first initial wave of these, what I would consider up and stay, because we're gonna keep them in this track where they're continuing to contribute in that capacity, And in some cases, they may actually get to that 20-year point as a lieutenant commander, and we may make a choice based on their performance and their preference to extend them past. So we'll take advantage of the authorities that we got in the FY19 NDAA as a result.
So it sounds like someone, you know, Maverick from Top Gun, he doesn't have to go and sit at a desk, but rather can get out there and continue to fly in some capacity, right?
That's correct. And again, it'll be very interesting to see how many applicants we get for this first board. But I believe we're going to definitely find some folks that are interested in that path, but we're certainly going to have plenty of folks that are still interested in the path of, you know, the normal seashore rotation as well as trying to stay on track for command and beyond.
At the beginning of our interview, you talked about the National Defense Strategy. One of the main tenets of that is to streamline business processes, to find efficiencies and things like that. I understand that your office is trying to do that in the best way that it can so that you don't have to sign off on paperwork a million different times just to get something easy done. So how are you following that one tenet in the National Defense Strategy and actually finding these efficiencies?
And that really goes back to some of the things that I said early on about transformation. And it's really, in order for us to deliver on all these initiatives that we want to do, and again, it's focused on, to me, making sure that we are setting the right conditions for our team, for people to want to stay Navy, and for us to attract people to want to come into the Navy. So we really have to take a look at everything that we do. And so I'd say it's kind of a harmonization of two things. One is, It's that process redesign to a better operating model. So we have to take a look at everything that we do, and we have to say, is this really the most efficient and acceptable way to get after what it is we're trying to accomplish? But then we also have to harmonize what information technology exists out there. We, in just the personnel enterprise, we had 55 disparate systems that had to interact and interrelate. And frankly, a lot of them are very old, and they weren't interconnected. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring all of this together to build a much more robust architecture using commercial off-the-shelf products that we're going to get into the cloud. We're going to allow ourselves to be more effective in doing the work that we need to do so that we can focus our effort and energy in the areas that we want to. Better customer experience, more sailor choice and flexibility, all the while ensuring that we are manning the fleet to be effective in that high-end fight.
And when it comes to finding these things, you talked about looking internally, you know, are you doing like a formal audit, or is this more of a crowdsourcing sort of venture where you're asking, you know, the person sitting at the front desk and all these different things how they can make their job better?
It's a combination of both. We're really we're taking a very holistic approach. So there's a formal side to this where we've got some partnerships across the enterprise to help us. So clearly we're leveraging the input and the wherewithal of the folks that are inside the enterprise, but we're also bringing some folks in from outside to help us as well. To ensure that we're not seeing some blinds, or we're aware of blind spots or gaps, but it truly is a holistic effort across the military, civilian, and contracted side to get after those known areas that we need to do better on to deliver on this transformation that we're making great progress on right now.
That was Deputy Chief of Naval Personnel Rear Admiral Jeff Hughes speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni. Hear this entire interview online. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsnetwork.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Agency in Focus.